Tejas, Swadhi, Gurvani, Vicharane, Nivasesha, Sinyavadi, Paschetti, Dejitana. Om Akinatamanandasya, Janad Janasalakaya, Chakshu Samilatan Zena, Tasmai, Sri Yuruvayama, Sri Chaitanya Maravistam, Stapitam Lena Bhutale, Sayam Upakadamayam, Vedati Sapandantika. Vanshakapatubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vaivata, Patitiram Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namah. We'll just review the last class, the verses from that. 61, 62, and 63 of the 18th chapter. And the first verse, we probably all remember, very famous verse. Ishvara Sabhabhutanam Vidyate Arjuna Tishyati. We should pass these out because it'll make it a teeny bit easier. And in fact, just for the sheer pleasure of it, we'll go back. Could you just press the cursor on the sound thing? Or if just wait till everyone has a sheet, and we'll go over these six verses. Let me just give a bunch back. Yeah. Ready? Does everyone have it? Okay. Anyone not have it yet? The sheet? Okay. Just wait a moment. Just now coming. Okay.
Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit.
Manmara bhava madhakto madhyaji maam namaskuro maam evaishyasi satyam te pratyare priyodhime.
Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend.
Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami.
Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear.
So in the 61st verse, and we'll go over the first three that we spoke about on Wednesday, Krishna explains his identity as the super soul. He's explained this in the 15th chapter as well with Sarvasya Chaham Ridesana Vistomata Smitam Jnanam Aponam Cha, that he is in everyone's heart, every living entity's heart. We are souls and he is the soul of the soul. And then, based on Krishna's understanding, not our own understanding, because our own understanding is quite limited. Our understanding of reality is just actually a small piece of reality. No one understands reality except for Krishna. Because you have to know everything. Who can say they know everything? We have a little part of reality, our own viewpoint. And to accept the part as the whole is illusion. But to accept the part as a part, something of our individuality, that is acceptable. But to accept it as reality, that is illusion. So therefore Krishna explains to Arjuna to surrender unto him because he is the super soul in all living entities. Tam eva sharanam vraja sarva bhavena bharata. And the result of that complete surrender, or giving oneself in Krishna's service, and accepting oneself as a servant of Krishna. Because we have so many senses of our identity. This is called upadhis. In Sanskrit, if you ask someone what are your upadhis, they will tell you all their degrees from the university. Yes, is that the... Yes, same word is used, yes. So it's, we are not those things. So it's false senses of who we are the upadhis, or the overlays that we consider ourselves. Like me considering myself a blue shirt, because I am this, I am blue, I'm the shirt. No, this is just a covering over who I am. So give that up and accept our actual identity as Krishna's servant and surrender unto him in all respects. Again, the sarva bhavena bharata. And the result is tat prasada by Krishna's grace, param shantim, the supreme peace, stan, and be situated in the eternal abode. Because this consciousness of giving oneself to Krishna and accepting our act, accepting and living in our identity as Krishna's servant, This is true consciousness, and this is the gateway to the spiritual world. Because everyone in the spiritual world, whether it be Vaikuntha or the topmost Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan, everyone accepts that they are servant of God. No one thinks that they are the supreme. Everyone is a servant and is wishing to please Krishna. So this is this surrender, or saranagati, or saranam, dacha, this is the gateway to the spiritual world. One has to walk through this gate. Yes, I'm Krishna's servant. What do you want me to do, Krishna? I'm tired of attempting to be an independent agent, as if I knew everything. So please accept me as your servant. And indeed, Prabhupada translated the Mahamantra in that way. O Krishna, O energy of the Lord, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me as your servant, in your service. And sometimes he translated it, O Srimati Radharani, O Krishna, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please accept me as your servant. Please accept me. So, therefore, Krishna says that in the 63rd verse, will you do this? Will you fight? This is up to you. You deliberate whether you want to be my servant or you want to be, to make your attempt to be the Lord and Master of this world and see if you can get the universe to be fully cooperate according to your plans. Go ahead and try, or you can become my servant and serve me. How will you act? You deliberate on this, you think about it. So therefore Krishna explains to you this knowledge, still more confidential. Still more confidential means, because there's many ways to understand these verses, but the basic understanding is the first knowledge that Krishna gave, transcendental knowledge, was in the 54th verse of the 18th chapter. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sojati Mikanshati. How to attain this Brahman platform, the all-pervading oneness. And then he's now explained a higher realization, because Brahmeti, Paramatmakti, and then Bhagavan is the Sabhyate. So he's explained Brahman, and this one is more confidential, more secret, more difficult to understand than this Brahman realization. So I've explained to you this more confidential knowledge. Now deliberate, you think about it and see what you wish to do. And then the 64th verse, now Krishna will speak the most confidential knowledge. There's confidential knowledge, which is spiritual knowledge. Then there's more confidential knowledge, which is knowledge of Paramatma. And then there is most confidential knowledge. This is superlative, the highest. Comparatively better, there's better, and then comparatively better, and then superlative, the topmost, the best. So he's going to explain that. So I'll read the most confidential knowledge, and we'll read the Sanskrit. It's on the sheet, of course, and also up there.
Sarvaguyattamam bhuyat sinume paramam vacha istosi me dridamiti tato vachami te hitam.
Please read, everyone, or repeat. So sarva guya. Guya means confidential. The guya also means what? A guha.
Cave.
Something that's deep and hidden. Confidential. So of all, so this is guya atama, the topmost of all secret confidential knowledges. Buya, I will explain this to you again, because as we'll hear in Prabhupada's purport, and if we remember the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna has already explained this in the final verse of the 9th chapter. He's already explained the verse that he's going to, the next verse, the Manmana Bhava Madhvato. So I'm going to explain again to you this topmost knowledge, Shinome Paramam Vacha. You hear my supreme words, Ishto Sime. Now why is Krishna explaining this to Arjuna? Why do you reveal anything deeply confidential and personal to another? Ishto, because Ishto Asi, you are dear to me. Ishto Sime, you are dear to me. I love you. You love me and I love you. Our relationship is intimate. Therefore, I will trust you with this most, most confidential knowledge. Isto sime dridamiti, tato vakshami tehitam. I'm speaking this, hita, for your benefit. I'm going to explain this to you for your benefit, because it's the topmost thing. And if you understand this, you will have understood everything, practically speaking. The whole purport of all the Vedic literatures, it is the topmost knowledge. Because it frees one, because it delivers the topmost result. And everyone is working in this world for happiness, we go to school, we go to the university, we acquire knowledge on how to deal in the world or deal in our occupation, but it doesn't deliver happiness, or it delivers some happiness, but it delivers so much else that is unfavorable and undesired. But this knowledge will deliver the topmost happiness, freedom from the material world, the material energy, freedom from birth and death. It will place us in the most secure position at Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore, it is for your benefit that you hear this. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The Lord has given knowledge that is confidential, which was the Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma in the verses before that, knowledge of Brahman, and still more confidential, knowledge of the Supersoul within everyone's heart, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam. And now he's giving the most confidential part of knowledge. Just surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Accept your position as a servant of Krishna and act as a servant with great devotion, not with no resentment, but as with great devotion and love. At the end of the 9th chapter, he has said, Manmana, just always think of me. The same instruction is repeated here to stress the essence of the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. This essence is not understood by a common man, but by one who is actually very dear to Krishna, a pure devotee of Krishna. He alone can understand the value of this knowledge. This is the essence. No one else can understand it. We can wonder, how is it possible to read this, read the Bhagavad Gita, and not understand it? But there are so many editions of the Bhagavad Gita where, in fact, the one who has written it or translated it or commented on it actually doesn't understand Krishna's message. Rather, they try to cover Krishna's message with their own message, their own thoughts. The famous example is that the first president of India, who was Dr. Radhakrishnan, and he wrote in the Bhagavad Gita, and this was the first one that the translations, Prabhupada said, were good, but his commentaries were terrible because they covered it. But before Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is was published, he would read from that, the translation, and then he would comment on it. He would become very upset with Dr. Radhakrishnan's commentary on this verse, Manmana Bhava Madhvato, because what Krishna says, surrender to me, or or there's no truth higher than me, he would comment, Dr. Radhakrishna would comment, what Krishna really means when he says me, he means the unborn, unmanifest within him. Krishna says me, he's a person talking to another person, Arjuna. He says, surrender unto me. And the comment is, no, what Krishna means is not unto him, the unborn, unmanifest, impersonal within him. So he's saying basically what Krishna really means is not what he's saying. It's what I, my opinion is what he really means. So Prabhupada would get extremely upset about that. He would take it very personally, as if someone was insulting a dearly beloved friend of yours. And then you get angry, you don't like to hear it. So Prabhupada acted in that way. I've seen one Bhagavad Gita. I think there's a man, I can't remember his name offhand. But one day I was looking at a Bhagavad Gita. I remember before I started chanting Hare Krishna, I read a Bhagavad Gita. And my conclusion after reading this Bhagavad Gita, not Prabhupada's, was that this is the greatest book I ever read, but there's one problem. Who is Krishna to say that he's God? So I thought it was a great book, but I didn't understand anything. And out of the tens and tens and tens and tens, literally, so many tens of English translations of the Bhagavad Gita, I once went read one where a man said, one may, he was an Englishman, and he translated it, and his name was Zanner, I think. He said, one may, he's a scholar, and he said, what's the need for another edition of the Bhagavad Gita? And he said, the reason is because it seems from the Sanskrit that everyone else, all the other translations to English, have gotten it wrong. He just said that. And he said, Krishna is a person. It's clear from the actual Sanskrit of the Bhagavad Gita. No one translates it like that. So therefore I will translate it in that way, to show that Krishna's intention is to explain that he's a person. This was just some Sanskrit scholar in British. That's quite amazing. So, very difficult to understand this. This Mr. Zaina, this scholar, must have had some purva sanskaras, Vaishnava sanskaras, to be able to understand that and to make a point out of it. He wrote that in his introduction. Very difficult to understand unless one hears from the proper source. So this, because it is confidential, very hard to understand. And the depth of it, the depth of this understanding is also, it's ever increasing because it is transcendental. That is the amazing nature of the Bhagavad Gita. That if you read it, you will get deeper and deeper understandings, even if you read it 100 times. One devotee wrote me a letter today, and a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he said there's a something that he said a common understanding how you have to pray to Krishna and take shelter of him if you want to control your senses, something like that. And he said, I've heard this so many times, and I've given classes on it so many times, and now after almost 40 years I'm actually beginning to understand it, the point. So it's not that he didn't understand it before, but he's getting a fresh and deeper understanding now after 40 years of studying, reading and practicing. So this is the nature of transcendental knowledge. If we read carefully and try to enter into the mysteries of the understanding, trying sincerely to understand why and what Krishna is saying, we will get some amazing realizations. Deepening, ever deepening. So here, we'll read the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Among all secrets, this is the most secret. Sarvaguyattamam, the highest secret. What does that mean?
The computer saying that it's batteries.
Oh, is it plugged in?
It's not plugged in.
Oh, well, that could be the problem. Goodbye. We're going to hibernate right now. Hear this again. For in the ninth chapter, I have already stated this. Mamanam babamad bhakta. But because it is very dear to me, that this knowledge is very dear to me, listen as I say it again at the end. Is it on? You have to start it. You have to press. He said, end hibernation and come back to life. Resume. This is a window to Krishna's words, and we're resuming. Now we can see them. Before we couldn't see them. Because this knowledge is very dear to me, listen as I say it again at the end. It is the supreme paramam statement.
How do you reset the computer? You don't. You reset the computer. Press function F7.
To pick up the signal. Yes?
No. Function F7.
It got stuck, huh? Should we just turn it off and start it again?
Yeah.
Hibernate it again, or the projector. Okay. And then the F7 trick. It is the supreme statement, the essence of the Gita. So the essence means that it's if you take a substance and you boil it down till you get the essence, this is it. This is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. It is the supreme statement, and this is spoken by the person who has spoken the entirety of the Bhagavad Gita. So he's saying it's the supreme statement. So he said, if something's very important and confidential, our consciousness immediately, if we think it will be helpful for us, our consciousness awakens. And we are very attentive naturally. This is the essence of the Gita, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, which is the essence of all of the scriptures. So this is the essence of the essence. And what is the reason for saying it again? Because Ishta, you are dear to me, you are dearest to me. Because of my love for you, Krishna is telling Arjuna, I will make this statement again. You have faith that my words possess all authority, dridamiti. So it is not wasted on you. You are dear to me, this knowledge is the dearest knowledge, and you are dear to me, and you have faith, so therefore the transmission is going to be proper. Therefore I will speak for your benefit, and therefore you should act upon this. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this is the implied meaning. Baladev, Srila Baladev Vidyabhusana. Oh, excuse me, that was Baladev's, and here is Vishnu's comment. glancing at Arjuna, this is the comment of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, glancing at Arjuna, his very dear friend, standing silently as he began to review the very deep meaning of the Gita scripture, the Lord, his heart melting like butter due to his mercy, spoke, "O my dear friend Arjuna," because he's just said you deliberate upon this and choose what you want to do. So how many verses are there to deliberate upon? Oh, he's spoken the entire Bhagavad Gita. There's over 600. Huh? But this isn't quite at the end. That's 800. Yes? 800 verses? Or 700? 700. So there's a lot of verses to deliberate on. Okay, so we don't want to compete with computer is optimizing the image. Thank you. So, glancing at Arjuna, his very dear friend, standing silently as he began to review the very deep meaning of the Gita, the Lord, his heart melting like butter due to his mercy, spoke, "O my dear friend Arjuna, I will now speak the essence of the whole scripture. Forget about the difficulties in having to review everything in order to understand it. I'm going to give it to you in two verses so you don't have to review the entirety of the Bhagavad Gita in your deliberations." Because at the end, he will ask, "Is your illusion now gone?" Because Krishna was ready to explain the whole thing to him again, to teach him. So now he's saying this. "I'm going to give the entirety of the deepest part of the message of the Bhagavad Gita in two verses. Again, Bhuya, hear the most secret knowledge." He says again because he said the same thing at the end of the ninth chapter. Mamana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam avyasati yukta evam apmanam mat parayanam. Those are the highest words, the parama vacha, the most secret, guyatamam, the essence of even the Gita, which is the essence of the meaning of all scriptures, because Vedas Chasavahameva Vidyo, the scriptures are trying to bring us, all scriptures are trying to bring us into the service of Krishna, where we give up this false sense of being separate from Him. Our relationship with Krishna is eternal. And therefore, that sense of being separate from Krishna is not true. It is false. It is illusion. It is false. We've forgotten. But because we forget our relationship with Krishna does not mean that we are actually separate from Him. Just like a son may run away from home, away from his father, and he may forget his relationship with his father, but does that mean that his relationship doesn't exist? No, he has a relationship, but he's forgotten it. So simply, this is the essence of our problem. Is that we're in the material world, Krishna bhule se jeev, forgetting Krishna, anadi bahimukh, we've turned our back on Krishna. This is the essence of our problem. Our relationship is there, but we have forgotten it. So Krishna is trying to tell Arjuna this essential knowledge to get Krishna to get Arjuna to turn again to Him and live in His true identity. So this is, but yet it is the most secret, it is the confidential part of the Shastra, the essence of even the Gita, which is the essence of the meaning of all Shastra. There is no secret greater than this in any place, from any cause, by any means. So this is, in other words, this is very important what Krishna is going to say. He then gives the reason for speaking this, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur continues, "Because you are very dear to me, Dridamishta, my friend, I speak for your benefit. Without having such friendship, no one speaks any most confidential knowledge. Friendship means you can trust the person. So now, these verses, which are of course very famous, these two verses, maybe you can press F7 again so we can get it up over there. F7.
Function F7.
That'll do it. Yep. 2 and 1. So he says, he's going, these four actions that comprise being surrendered to Krishna and being reestablished in our relationship with Krishna. Now here's Krishna's advice, and this is what he's explained already in 9:34. And notice the first two lines, the manmana, you can't quite notice it yet, but here, the first two lines, madhyaji mamnaskruva, it explains the four actions. And then the next two lines will explain the result of those four actions. If you do this, very, very, very important, very extremely important, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vyasyat yasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Everyone please.
Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vyasyat yasi satyam te pratijane.
Manmana, first thing, think of me. Does Krishna say, think of the impersonal? He's standing right there, right before Arjuna, and he says, think of me. So what does he mean by that? It's obvious, think of him. Doesn't mean anything very, very difficult to understand. He's standing right there. And he says, think of me, manmana. First of these most four important instructions. You think of me. How to think about Krishna? Prabhupada will explain in his purport. But it says, think about Krishna. One way or another, think about Krishna. You're working, think about Krishna. But as a understanding his position, because worship of him without understanding his position is not actually worship. We heard that before. So think about him and think about yourself as his servant. So manmana bhava madbhakta, and become my devotee. First thing, think of him. Second thing, you become my devotee. Think of Krishna as he is the master and you are his servant, you're his devoted servant. How can I serve you? I am a devotee, a sevak. Become my bhakta, one who worships me, who serves me with devotion, with love. Think of me in that way. Become my devotee. Madhyaji, you worship me. And mam namaskuru, and you offer obeisances unto me. Four things. Think about me, become my devotee, worship me, offer obeisances to me. And what is the result of that? Mam evyasyati. You will come to me. You will come to me. And Krishna says, satyam. Satyam. Truly, this is the truth. Pratijane, satyam te, pratijane, I promise this to you. This is the truth, I promise this to you. Two times you can say this is true. That's one time. And then I promise it's the second time. Making a double statement for emphasis, and the acharyas have some fun in explaining this. But why is he making this statement? By doing these four things, you become a devotee, you think about me, you worship me,
and you offer your obeisances to me, accept your position in relationship to me. And you, just by that you will come to me. I promise you this. It's true. I promise you this because you are my dear friend. You're priyosi me. You are dear to me. I love you. I will not lie to you. I'm telling you the truth. So here's Prabhupada's purport here. The most confidential, please listen carefully. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. If one is acting for him, actually, one will naturally think of him. One should not become an official meditator. One should not become an official devotee. One has to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Always think of him and act for him. Not official means on the outside one thing, but inside I'm officially a devotee, but on the inside I'm officially selfish rascal like I've always been for so many births. One should not be like that. That will not help. One should actually understand enough about Krishna to fall in love with him, to think about him, to serve him, to worship him, to offer obeisances. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. So how to do that? This takes very deep thought and consultation. Sometimes it's not easy. We're in situations where it's not so easy to think about Krishna. But there's no situation that's easy to think about Krishna unless you have love and devotion. So really the problem is less the situation than the lack of love for Krishna. And hearing about Krishna will help that greatly. But yet we can learn from each other how to think about Krishna in our life. Think about Krishna and how to worship him through our life, wherever we are. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. So it can be a struggle to think about Krishna, because the mind will tend to wander to so many other things out of its bad habits, but the result is so wonderful. One will go to the spiritual world and attain the service of Krishna. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. And anyone who follows the path of Arjuna can also become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. One should think of that Krishna, because Krishna is saying, think of me. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. This is the most confidential part of knowledge that we should think about Krishna, and it's so simple in one sense. Sometimes the greatest secrets are simple, but yet so few can understand them. comment of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The phrase Manmana Bhava Madbhakto means being my devotee, being my devotee only. Always think of me. The Lord says this to exclude the other possibilities. He does not mean be a jnani or be a yogi and meditate on me. He's saying be my devotee and think about me. It is the most natural thing in the world if one is a devotee to think about Krishna, because naturally the one who is, because one, a devotee means one who is trying to please Krishna. A devotee means that Krishna is the center of our life. And naturally, if one is thinking, how can I please Krishna in whatever circumstance he is in, that is what it means to be a devotee. And naturally, whatever circumstance we're in, if we think of ourselves as a servant of Krishna, we'll naturally think of how I can please him, regardless of what our circumstance is. We'll think, how can I please Krishna now by what I'm doing? Because I am his servant. Or the phrase manmana bhava can mean be situated with your mind completely absorbed in me, Shyama Sunda, with moon-like face, with shining locks of hair and beautiful eyebrows, raining nectar in the form of glances of sweet mercy. So think of Krishna's form, his wonderfully sweet form and his glances of mercy. And therefore, when we go to see Radha Ballava, it's so important to see Radha Ballava and make, especially in the morning, and make the impression and the consciousness of Krishna. And then we refer to that impression throughout the day and pray, how can I serve you? Please let me serve you. Because a thought that's separate from Krishna is actually a wasted thought, and it brings us in the wrong direction. It's such an extreme statement in one sense, but it's true. So that's how to practice the manmana. Always think of Krishna, with his beautiful Krishna, with his beautiful eyebrows and moon-like face, raining nectar in the forms of glances of sweet mercy. And then Baba Madbhakta can mean, and give all your senses, such as the ears, to me. Adore me, using all the senses, Baba Madbhakta, with such service as hearing, chanting, seeing my murti, cleaning and anointing my temple, anointing, decorating the temple, picking flowers and offering me garlands, ornaments, umbrella, and chamara. So this is how to be a devotee, do service for Krishna. Hearing and chanting is service. And worshipping, picking flowers, cleaning the temple. And then the Lord says, give me objects such as, this is Madhyaji, such as Gandha. What does Gandha mean? Scent. Yes. Flowers, incense, lamp, and Nivedya, or food. Be my worshipper, perform my worship. And then the Lord says, oh, just give me respects, Mam Namaskuru, falling on the ground with the whole body, offer respects by touching the body to the ground with eight limbs, Astanga. Astanga, obeisances, dandavats, as we say. Of these four, thinking of me with the mind, serving me with the senses, worshipping me with items, and offering respects to me with the whole body, do all of them, or any of them, and you will attain me. Mam eva asyasi, you will attain me. Make an offering of your mind, your senses, or items of worship unto me. I will respond, and I will give myself to you. That is Krishna. You offer Krishna some scent, some fragrant scent, and Krishna offers himself to you. I make this oath to you. Satyam te. The word satyam implies something of which there is no doubt. It's Vishnu Chakravarti's words. According to the Amrakosha dictionary, satya means an oath and truth. So then, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said something on the other side. So he said, well, the people born in the land of Mathura make such oaths in every sentence. Oh, this is true. I promise you this. I promise you this. And behind, something else is going on. That is true. In that case, under oath, Pratijane, I declare you are dear to me. And no one cheats a person dear to himself. So that's why he says it the second time. He says, Satyam te Pratijane. I promise you, I make another oath, that no one cheats those who are dear to them. You cheat the people who, other people, but those you love. There's no cheating. So that's what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. Baladeva Vidyabhusan says about this verse. Now the Lord gives the instruction. In the previous verse he said, I will tell you this most confidential truth. And now he gives that instruction. This has been explained before, 934. By concentrating your mind on me, worshipping me, and offering respects to me, you will attain me, Krishna, with human form, the son of Devaki, who is most affectionate to you. You will attain me with dark complexion, the color of the blue lotus, not the universal form with a thousand heads, not the form of Paramatma, the size of a thumb, not Nisringadev, not Varaha. Being your friend, I will give myself to you. I make this oath to you, Satyam Te. Satya means an oath, or the truth. Should not have any doubt about this. This is Krishna speaking so strongly and so intimately, telling exactly what he wants. Then there is a comment. Baladeva makes a similar comment to Vishwanath. But my doubt is not destroyed. Because even when you made a vow, you did not return from Mathura to Braja. Because he said, I'm just coming, Pasun. Tomorrow, maybe the day after tomorrow, I'm coming. And Krishna responds similarly. Therefore I have said this after making an admission, Pratijane, you are dear to me. If the resident of Mathura having an affectionate mind, even a resident of Mathura having an affectionate mind, does not cheat the one he loves, what then to speak of one who he loves the most? You. I have great affection for he who has great affection for me. Otherwise, samoham salabhuteshu, what does that mean? That's equal. But ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayate teshu chapyam. We love Krishna. And Prabhupada also said this too. It is not mechanical. It is not mechanical. If you love me, he said, I will love you. It is not mechanical. So Krishna is saying that. And then he says, what then to speak of one who one loves the most? I have great affection for he who has great affection for me. I cannot tolerate separation from him. I have already said this with words like priyo hi, from Bhagavad Gita 7:17. Therefore have faith in my words, you will certainly attain me. And then the final verse, perhaps the most famous verse that we associate with Krishna's final instructions, 1866. Take full shelter of Krishna. Sharanam Raja. Mame come. Mame come. To me only. Sharanam. Surrender. Give yourself. Take shelter of. And place yourself completely under Krishna's protection. Sarvadamam Parityaja. Mame come. Sharanam Raja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshyashami ma sucha. Sarva dhammam parityaja. Parityaja is give up. So all the things that I've previously said, you do this, you practice karma yoga, you Jnana Yoga, and do this and that, and Ashtanga Yoga, and very important to do this and that. Give them up, Parityaja. And instead, I'm now going to give you the essence. Before I told you four things, now I'm going to tell you one thing. Mamekam Sharanam Raja. You just give yourself to me. Place yourself under my protection. Surrender to me, serve me, make me the object of your love. Aham tam sava pape bhyo moksha shami masucha. I will save you from all sins, sinful reactions. The sinful reactions to Arjuna, killing all the people on the battlefield, any sins that you may commit in the future, anything in the past. No, you're mine now. You're mine. Moksha shami. And I will deliver you. I will deliver you. Ma sucha. What does ma sucha mean? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't hesitate. Don't worry. This is Krishna's promise. Just give yourself to me. But who's going to take care of me if I give myself to Krishna? Masucha, don't worry, I will deliver you. I will take personal responsibility for you. One of my favorite jokes is on this point. When this man is walking on a very mountain cliff, and suddenly he falls down over the cliff, and it's so high. And he's looking down, and he sees there's rocks, sharp rocks underneath. And suddenly as he's falling, he holds onto a root of a tree. And he's looking down, he's terrified, and the tree is starting to pull away. And he calls out, "Oh Lord, if there's anyone up there, please help me. If there's anyone up there, help me." And then he hears a reply, "Oh my son, do not fear. Just let go and I will protect you." "Is there anyone else up there?" So sometimes it feels like that. And the Buddhists tell a similar, not with a different, they have a different example. And the Bhagavatam also gives an example of someone hanging from like a root, and below him he's hanging into a thing of snakes. And nearby there is bees trying to bite him when he's holding on. And from the bees, the beehive, there's a little honey coming down. And the Buddhists say, "You take that honey and lick it and enjoy it." And that's the example given in the Bhagavatam of a fool, of a materialistic fool. You're about to die and you're trying to, still trying to enjoy. And we say, The Krishna says, never mind, we say. He says, no, you just put yourself under my protection. Become a devotee. Surrender to me. Give yourself to me. Return to your actual shelter. This is what you're longing for. What we're striving for in the material world will not give us what we're longing for. And then at the time of death, what will we have that will protect us if we don't have Krishna, if we haven't practiced in our life depending on Krishna? We look at the difficulties of life as something to be avoided, but in fact, this life is a field for sadhana. The difficulties are the practice session for seeing where our mind goes to for shelter in difficult times. They are tests, assessments, more properly said. There are assessments to see where we look for, where we look to for shelter. Do we call out to Krishna? Or does the mind quiver and run towards something else, either great fear or something very limited like our own abilities? But at death, clearly everything will fail us. Everything clearly will fail us. We'll have to give up everything. Every false sense of who we are leaves us gradually as we age. And then finally, that false sense of being the body, as we're ripped from the body, we'll leave that behind. And where will our shelter be? So life is a practice for that. And Krishna says, this is Sharanam. You surrender to me. Aham Tam Sarva. I will protect you. I will deliver you. The responsibility to care for you, Yoga Chaimam Baham Yaham, to deliver you, to bring you back to the lotus, it falls upon me. You are giving everything to me out of your great affection for me, and I will care for you. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport here. Don't worry, don't fear. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. Listen to this, so strong of Prabhupada's words. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. Mahaprabhu asked Srivas Thakur, I see that you never even go out. You're a Brahmin. You never go out of your house. You don't even go begging or anything. Who's going to maintain you? And Srivas Thakur replied, and he smiled. And Mahaprabhu said, what do you mean by and smile? And Srivas Thakur said, I've made a vow that after one meal, if nothing comes, the time for one meal, and a second meal, time for a second meal, nothing comes, and then a third meal, nothing comes, then I'll just jump in the Ganga. And Mahaprabhu just, he looked at her and said, Srivas, you should take sannyas. You're so detached from it. You should take sannyas. And he said, I can't do that. And Mahaprabhu then said, Srivas Thakur, I promise you that even if the day comes that Lakshmi Devi herself becomes poor and has to go begging for her food, still you'll have food in your house. What kind of dependence these personalities had. And there's that famous story in Dattatreya Muni in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, how that's also described in the 7th canto. Prahlad goes out, and in the 11th canto, Yadu Maharaj Yadu goes down. Does anyone know why Yadu was asked to give the kingdom to his father Yayati to exchange places with him in his youth for his old age? You've read that? But he didn't do it. And why? What was the reason? Puru gave it. Some sons refused and they were considered improper. But Yadu refused also, but he had a reason.
He was a devotee, wasn't he? He said
but
he
what
had
it,
devotion,
no?
He wanted to enjoy the soul of the devotee.
Yes.
Oh, right.
If I don't understand what the material world is like now by making my attempt to enjoy, then when it comes time to renounce, I actually won't be able to renounce because my mind will be dwelling on the, I should have done this, I should have done this, I should have done this, only if I did that. Puru renounced, but Yadu, Maharaj Yadu didn't. But it was a reasonable reason. But the result was that later on, when he was older, he met Dattatreya Muni, the great Rishi, and who was like a python, lying like a python and not doing anything. And yet he was fat and no anxiety at all. And he was just lying on the ground as a python, like a python. And he said, how is this possible? You don't do anything. And he said, the food comes to me. And I'm in no anxiety. So after hearing the instructions of Dattatreya Muni, he became renounced. At that point, he had gone through life and he became renounced. Anyway, that's so many. There's so many. He said, I have so many gurus that I've learned from my 20-some-odd gurus in this way. This is very advanced consciousness to fully depend on Krishna. This is called surrender. We can do our duty, but actually we have to depend on Krishna. And ultimately we have to please Krishna. That's the foremost thing in a surrendered soul's mind. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contaminations of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. And then Prabhupada says something similar to what he said in the previous verse. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. The temple, the pujaris, all the devotees make such an effort to care for Radha Balava, Gornatai, and Jagannath Baldi Subhadra for their pleasure, but also so that the devotees can come and see them and become attracted to them. Because if we don't become attracted to the beauty of Krishna, we will become attracted to the beautiful forms of this material world, and the result of that will be terrible. Painfully terrible. So one should be attracted by the beautiful feature of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all-attractive. And one who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted by the supersoul feature, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna and full Krishna consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Karma yogis, empiric philosophers, mystics, and devotees are all called transcendentalists. But one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. Pure devotee means sarva upadhi vinir muktam tat paradvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhakti usate, that he, all other senses of himself, I'm a university graduate, I'm a male, I'm an American, I'm an Australian, I'm a this, I'm a that, give them up. Sarva upadhi, they are all impositions, overlays on who we actually are. They should be given up, and we should consider ourselves a servant to Krishna. And in that mood, Rishikena, Rishikesha said, we should serve the Rishika Isha, the master of the senses. So one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. The particular words used here, masucha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender to Krishna. But such worry is useless. We'll read some of Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. We won't read any of Baladev's comment because Prabhupada included a lot of that in his purport. The meaning of the, this is Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur, the meaning of the word pratyaja can indeed be understood correctly by the prefix pari, which means completely. Thus you should completely give up all your prescribed duties, all your vana and ashrama duties. Because Krishna has told Arjuna to fight. And then he's told him, fight. In the second chapter he says, you should fight because you're a kshatriya. And if you win, you will gain heaven. You'll win the earth. And if you lose and die, you will gain heaven. Do your duty. It is better to do your duty. You're a kshatriya. But here he's saying, give up all your vanasama duties. Because he doesn't want Arjuna to fight, per se. He wants Arjuna to give, to surrender, and to act as a devotee. So he's interested not so much in the activity but the devotion. There's so many different levels of consciousness that we can perform the same activity in, and Krishna wants us to perform the activities with great devotion and surrender. Surrender only unto me, mame kam sharanam braja. So someone may have some duties to do. And we do it because it's our culture, it's because it's our duty, because we have a duty to a family, to this, to that. But Krishna says, give that all up, and what you're going to do should be done as surrender to me. Place me in the center. This means there should be no worship of devatas, astanga yoga, jnana, or dharma, or other elements in that surrender. And then otherwise it's mixed. Previously I have said that you are not qualified for ananya bhakti, or pure bhakti, the highest type of bhakti, and that you are qualified for karma misra bhakti. When I said, whatever you do, whatever you eat, do it as an offering to me. What verse is that? Yat karosi dasnasi yat johosi dadati. Previously I said that, and that's karma yoga. This is your adhikar. But now, by my great mercy, you have qualifications for ananya, pure bhakti. That ananya bhakti may be attained by the causeless mercy of my ekantika bhakta, by my pure devotee. Though that is a rule I myself have made, I'm now giving you that mercy myself, breaking my own vow as I did in the fight with Bhishma. Because Krishna, his system of giving someone the qualification of pure devotional service is through his devotee. So he doesn't do this himself. But here Krishna says, my heart is melting and I'm breaking my own system and giving you the qualification for pure devotional service now. And by following my orders, you should not fear some loss on your part in giving up your nitya, your daily and naimittic occasional karma. The order to perform these nitya karmas were also given by me in the form of the Vedas. Now I am ordering you to give them up completely. Is there sin in not performing your nitya karmas? No, rather the opposite. In performing nitya karma, you will commit sin because of disobeying my direct order, Sarvadhamam Pratyaja. If someone surrenders to you, he becomes dependent, like an animal purchased for a price. He does whatever you make him do. If you put him in one place, he stays there. If you offer him food, he eats. These are the characteristics of surrender. The Vayu Purana explains this. Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso gotripte varanam tata atmanachepta kapanyam sadvida saranagati. One should accept, this is the definition from the Vayu Purana of surrender. One should accept what is anukul, conduct which is pleasing to the Lord and according to the scriptures. One should reject what is pratikul, what is not pleasing to the Lord or authorized by the scriptures. This is also explained in Prabhupada's commentary. I only read part of Prabhupada's commentary. One should think of the Lord and no one else as one's protector. One should have faith, vishvas, that in times when one's own existence is threatened, the Lord will give protection, as in the case of Gajendra or Jopati. One should employ one's gross and subtle bodies for Krishna's service. One should not make a show of one's miserable circumstances, but rather accept it as one's karma. Surrender, sharanagati, consists of performing these six items in relationship to the Lord. Then Arjuna asks a question. Then starting today, if I surrender to you, I should do whatever you say, whether it is good or bad. If you make me perform dharma or good activities, then I will not worry at all. But if you engage me in adharma, since you are the Supreme Lord and can do whatever you want, then what will happen to me? Please tell me. Answer. Krishna's answer. I will free you from all sinful reactions. From whatever reactions exist from the far past and the recent past, and from whatever reactions arise from acts I will make you perform in the future. This is not impossible for me to do, though it cannot be done by anyone else to whom you surrender. Taking you as the means, I am giving instructions to the whole world. Do not feel grief for your own welfare or that of others. May you and all other people, giving up all dharma, your own and everyone else's, absorb your thoughts and actions in me, surrendering to me, remain in contentment and satisfaction. I myself have accepted the burden of freeing you from sin and freeing you from samsara, repeated birth and death. Ananyasthintayanto mam ye jena paripasate tesham nityabhayuktanam yoga chemam baham yaham. I carry the burden of supply and maintenance of those who desire constant association with me and who, thinking only of me, worship only me. Do not lament thinking, oh, I have thrown my own burden on my master. It is no strain at all for me, who am most affectionate to my devotees. Nothing else remains to be instructed. Thus, Vishwanatha Bhagavati Thakur says, the scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, has been concluded. It's very heavy. It's completely contrary to how a person with false ego thinks. A person who with false ego thinks of himself in the center and himself as the protector. And Krishna says that that is improper thinking and that will keep you within the material world. So, there's the question right now. What point struck you most deeply from today's class?
Your favorite joke.
My joke, yes. It's one of my favorite jokes. How we have such an aversion to surrendering to Krishna. Fearful. Anything else? Yes.
Contemplating the form of Krishna.
Yes. The beautiful form of Krishna. Yes. And Madhavallabha have so kindly come to allow us to do that. Yes?
Even if Krishna instructs us to engage in our dharmic activities, still he'll free us from the sins of birth.
Yes. And future as well. And past. Distant and close past. There's a famous, maybe not so famous, because probably no one else has heard it. But there's a pastime where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he told his disciple that when people come, when the Chaitanya Math was just being established, he said, "I'm ready to feed the people uncookable, uneatable things if they will just come to Mayapur." And one of his disciples said, "Sri Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, but the mutt will get such a bad reputation if we do something like that." And he replied, "I will do anything to satisfy Krishna. I used to think like you thousands of births ago." Or a thousand births. "I will do anything to satisfy Krishna." That was Prabhupada's mood. "I will do anything to please Krishna. Let the world criticize, let the world say this. If Krishna is pleased, I don't care. I'll do anything to satisfy Krishna." Anyone think of something else? Yes.
We should arrange our daily activities in such a way that we are always connected to Krishna.
Yes, so we can always think of Krishna. Yes. Okay. Anything else? You already had one. Now you have a more deeper one. Yes? But yes, boom.
How do you surrender to Krishna in your non-personal life, like in your academic or your work or other areas?
Act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. How to do that? How to... First, you place yourself in the mentality that I am Krishna's servant. Somehow I'm here. And somehow this is the work that I'm doing. How to do this in such a way that Krishna will be pleased? Now, the answer to that question, you should consult the devotees who are in those kind of situations and are more experienced than me in that. But that's the theoretical basis for it. You place yourself in that mood that I am Krishna's servant. Somehow I'm in this situation. How could I please Krishna in this situation? So you start with that sincere desire to please Krishna, to place him in the center, and then you Krishna will help you with some ideas, and you can talk to the other devotees to see how they do it, how they succeed in doing that. It's such a nice way to associate with devotees by asking questions like that. Yes.
One's life, not in relation to, but just on the one's life should be moulded in such a way so that one can think of Krishna 24 hours a day.
Yes.
And I think after that you also mentioned, or you read Prabhupada saying, anything that's counter to that should be avoided.
Yes. That's anukulasya sankalpa, patikulasya bhojanam.
Another thing that struck me, that a lot of the things that Prabhupada encourages us to do is part of that mandbhakto, become a devotee.
Yeah, and think of him.
And from the commentaries of, I think it was Vishwanatha, you know,
yes,
offer sense and offer, you know, things, food and all the different things that we do in the worship is,
yes,
manifestation of being a devotee.
Yes.
And of course, you know, that's at the temple or even at home, it can be just like,
yes, yes, somehow or another to become absorbed in thinking of Krishna in a devotional way, somehow or another. Of course, one of the best ways is to preach, to talk to others about Krishna, because you have to stay awake and you have to listen when you're talking. And you have to depend on Krishna. There's, by the way, Prabhu, there's one verse, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. But there's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 1864, I believe. Chaitasya savakamani maya sanyasi matpara buddhi yogam upasita matsita satatambhava. For all activities and their results, just depend on me and work always on my, under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So in that purport, Prabhupada gives some purport to that verse, 1857. Prabhupada gives some practical advice. But ask the devotees. It's, again, it's just a nice question to ask the devotees. Yeah, and thank you for your comments. Okay. Yes.
You see, Krishna is instructing Arjuna from the beginning, just so that he'll fight, and he's talking so elaborately so that Arjuna is encouraged to fight. But on the contrary, he himself is vowing not to fight, and he's not taking part in this battle.
Krishna.
So, what does he want to instruct from this, his action?
That whosoever side God is on is going to win. Whether he says he's going to fight or he's not going to fight. So many things. Namitta karan bhava savya satya. He's doing everything. It's not really that he's not fighting. He's killing everyone on the opposing side. Yeah. And also Krishna's independent. And he's also showing that he's a servant of his devotee. He's driving the chariot of Arjuna. He's becoming a menial servant of his devotee. That's the most significant thing. And whatever, this is what the conclusion of the last words are, the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. The final verse itself is the answer to Sanjay's answer to Dhritarashtra's question about who's going to win this battle. And he says, Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna Yatra Bhakto Janardana Tatra Sri Vijayo Buddhi Dhruva Nitti Mati Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, morality. That is my opinion. That's the conclusion. That's whatever side Krishna is on, there will be all things, all wonderful things. opulence, victory, extraordinary power and morality. Okay. Yes. That's the end. Okay, thank you. Now, there's still one more class. So if you want, we could have it next Friday. And we'll go back to the Bhagavatam for that last class. We started with the Bhagavatam, with Brahma's prayers, and then we'll go to the end of that chapter. So, is that all right? We can, on Friday at 7:30 till, whoops, to 9. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Krishna's wonderful and powerful instructions to Arjuna ki jai. No, don't say that.